everyone. Welcome to Stutter Talk episode 489. This will be our first episode of 2015. We ended 2014 strong. We're starting 2015 strong. I'm Peter Reitzes here in Carrboro, North Carolina, and I have on the line on the other side of the pond, across the pond, Patrick Campbell. Hey, Patrick.
Hello there, Peter.
Hey, Patrick. It's so great to have you on air. Just moments ago, we were talking about inspiring one another, and I pointed out that you are a medical student who stutters, and I couldn't imagine being a medical student who stutters when I was in my 20s. Congratulations on the beginning of a fine career.
Thank you very much.
Patrick Campbell is a fourth-year medical student at the Hull York Medical School in England, and as a person who stutters, Mr. Campbell used to try and keep his stutter hidden, but has since realized there's a better way to approach his speech with openness and acceptance. For the past 3 years, Mr. Campbell has been working towards this aim. Patrick has most recently been elected to become trustee for the British Stammering Association, and he hopes to give back to the stuttering community. Wow, Patrick. Now, you're from the United Kingdom, is that correct?
Yes, I'm originally from a small town in Durham, which is in the northeast of England, but I'm currently studying at York University, which is about 2 hours down the road south from Durham.
Fantastic. And I'm going to use the word stuttering a lot today, but Patrick, you might use the word stammering, right? Because that's the term of choice in England.
It is, but actually in my family, I was brought up using the term stuttering. So I tend to use that as well, which always confuses people from the UK, because they then think that I'm from America sometimes.
Well, I'm just amazed that you were raised to use the word stuttering or stammering, because, you know, so many of us were raised to not use the word at all. So you must have a family member who stutters, right?
Yeah, my dad also stutters.
Well, let's just jump in there. What's that like to have your father stutter too?
Peter, I'd really like to comment on that, but I feel you'd have to get my dad's view, because it's really his own story to share rather than mine.
Oh, I deeply respect your response to that question. So I've got a lot of other great things to ask you. So you've spent the last 3 or 4 years trying to make the move from covert to overt, and you have referred to yourself as passing as fluent in the past. So what does it mean to pass as fluent, or what is your passing as fluent experience?
In my experience, what passing as fluent meant was doing all I could to avoid stuttering. This would be a range of normal, well, not normal behaviors, but my own behaviors, which I engendered during my youth. It was to try and avoid the stigma and shame that can easily come with stammering. And I think I kind of took that on board when I was young. Do you know? I mean, I shouldn't say, do you know? It's because it's your own experience which you go through. When I was young, I was occasionally mocked for it, and those moments really stuck with me. And from that, I learned that it was wrong to stutter or stammer, and therefore I would do all I could to avoid it. And this meant a number of things. I would swap words all the time. I remember one time in my youth, probably aged about 14, I was given a lecture to the rest of the class, and I had to say the word alcohol, but I swapped it to beer instead. And it's just moments like that of swapping words. Sometimes I would just stay quiet and avoid situations rather than speak up. And this continued on until I was about 19 years old.
Well, it really does build up, right? I mean, for me, it just reached a point where I got so sick of doing those things and was so disappointed in myself for all these restrictions I had placed on my ability to communicate. And, you know, this great big lie I was living, You know, it sounds like you're saying something a little similar, where you at 19, you just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, but the thing is, at the time, between those years, I had absolutely no insight into the fact that was an issue. I just thought that was normal for people who stutter, and it's what we had to do to get by in life.
I don't know if I thought the same, but it was my normal. It was all I knew. I'm going to go out on a limb here. So as I'm listening to you talk, it sounds like I'm hearing a lot of real good stuttering, like, hey, it's good to stutter. But I'm also wondering if you're using a little voluntary stuttering.
Yeah, I do occasionally. And I thought I'd throw a few in on this show, as it seems the right place to do it.
Yeah, I love hearing it. I wanted to point it out to the listeners. It just seemed like you were doing it mostly when we first started talking. So when we first started talking and you used some voluntary stuttering, you know, why did you do that?
I guess I did that to relax myself and show myself that it was okay to stutter on this show, as it is anyway. And also just to, I'm not sure quite how to phrase this, but I think if you're talking about stuttering, then you should be stuttering at the same time. I think it just helps you to get you in the right mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, that works for me, for sure. So you're coming out of your covert closet, so to speak. How's that been going for you? I mean, have you had to have conversations with people, friends and family who didn't know that you stuttered, or what's your journey been like?
I would say I've never had to have a conversation explaining the fact that I stutter to somebody who had previously thought I was fluent, because I've always stuttered a bit, and those who I've been close to have always been close enough to realize that. But I've always tried to hit it to a great extent. And stuttering is something I find very difficult to talk about still. And I think those conversations are very difficult to have. And sometimes I've avoided them. But I do try not to.
Are you going to let your friends and family know that you're appearing on Stutter Talk?
I've told my family, but I haven't told my friends yet. I'm not sure that I will.
So you have decided to become a medical doctor, and I think you want your specialty to be in the area of genetics and research. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So I've spoken to a few medical doctors who stutter, and they all describe a very challenging journey, both just the regular studies and the regular work. And also adding to that, being a person who stutters doing oral exams and having to work these incredibly long shifts. What's your experience been like as your fourth year med? So you're almost done medical school, right?
I've got one more left to go and a lot of exams left to pass.
So what's your experience been so far?
I guess I've had two experiences, Peter. One was before I accepted the fact that I stuttered, and I was open about it, and one afterwards. Before I accepted it and started to open up and try and drop all those covert behaviours, it was really difficult. In first year, we used to have communication skills class each week, where we'd practice speaking to patients, and I just remember a lot of fear around those. I didn't want to say anything when I spoke to patients. I didn't want to ask questions. I just tried and get out of the room as soon as possible. And that makes medicine very, very challenging. In something where communication is critical to every day, you can't really have those sort of behaviours. But I've moved away from that now, and I'm very upfront about my stutter or stammer with patients. I've found if you're positive and open, then it's not the barrier you think it is at all. And on occasion, it can even be a positive.
I've heard that a few times on Stutter Talk. I've heard that from Dr. Brian Smart, who's a person who stutters and an advisor to Stutter Talk, and he's a doctor, an allergist. And I believe I've heard Dr. Gerald McGuire share the same sentiments. Now, has it ever worked against you? Have you ever had a patient or a family be taken aback by your stuttering or have a concern about your stuttering?
No, absolutely never. Not once in my 4 years has somebody ever spoken negatively about it. Well, no patient has. Because what I do now is, before I start talking to a patient, my standard introduction is, "Hello, my name's Patrick Campbell. I'm a fourth-year medical student. Please can I just tell you, I've got a stutter. Can you just bear with me?" And nobody has ever said a bad thing. The patients always wait for me to finish my sentences and the question. They're always totally okay with it.
I just got chills. I love getting the chills on Stutter Talk. That's a great way to bring in 2015 to have everyone hear that, you know, you very briefly mentioned you're stuttering, and then it sounds like you're all there for the patient. Let me just share with you, I've heard so many people who stutter over the years say that, well, I'd like to tell other people I stutter, but it never feels like the right moment, and I don't want to be always talking about myself. And
yeah,
you know, I just have to ask you, do you ever feel like that brief explanation about your stuttering is inappropriate, or that somebody doesn't appreciate it, or that somebody's annoyed by it?
I've never felt it inappropriate, because it's not just for them, it's also for me, because once I say that I stammer, then there's no point trying to hide it anymore. So I think I almost have a right to say that.
Lovely. So it sounds like you're really sort of owning and being responsible for your own space. And I give you a big, big cheers for that. That is lovely.
I gotta take myself out of this hole. I gotta take myself out of this hole.
This is Stutter Talk. Peter Reitz is here with Patrick Campbell, who is a fourth-year medical student at the Hull York Medical School in England. Patrick is also a person who stutters and a person who uses voluntary stuttering. Wow, you know, we always talk about voluntary stuttering on Stutter Talk, but you just came on and did it, so thank you, man. You've said that psychiatry has been your favorite medical rotation. Why is that?
I didn't expect that. I'm one of these people who really likes the sciencey side of medicine, and I always viewed psychiatry as a little bit fluffy and lovey-dovey. But once I started my rotation for 8 weeks, I really enjoyed it. I think you get a chance to talk about such deep things compared to normal everyday life and have real conversations. Rather than just when you're talking about a medical problem, in psychiatry you're talking about a person, their mindsets, what they've experienced during life. It's just so much deeper.
Now, I want to ask you about psychiatry, and I know that you have been really inspired by Dr. Gerald McGuire, who has been a frequent guest on Stutter Talk, and we're going to get there in just 1 second, but I neglected to ask you, so your patients have been totally cool with your stuttering. How about your professors and your medical supervisors? How have they been with your stuttering?
They've been fine since I've been open about it, but when I was closed off, I had this experience over my first 3 months when I acted completely fluent. And one day, a stammer slipped through the net, so to speak. And my professor at the time found out, and we had a little bit of email correspondence afterwards and talked about it. And he was really concerned about the impact my stammer was having on my communication skills. Not the fact of the few repetitions which occasionally occurred, but those covert behaviours where I wouldn't speak up in class, wouldn't ask questions. And he basically gave me stuttering acceptance 101 and told me to mention it up front to patients and just be more open about it. And to be honest, over the 4 years, that is the only time stuttering has ever been raised in a negative light. Occasionally, I've talked about with professors, and they've always said, that's fine. Some people have to be in wheelchairs and can't walk. You just can't speak as well as everybody else. And they've always been very accepting and open to it.
Now, did this conversation with this professor, did it lead you to make some positive changes, or how do you reflect back on it?
It did, but not at the time. I wasn't ready to accept stuttering yet. It was certainly a big moment in my life, but it wasn't like I walked out of that room after a conversation and I preached at the altar of acceptance for the rest of my years in medical school. It took around one year and a half after that of speech therapy and being involved in the stuttering community to really start to understand acceptance for myself rather than just have somebody tell me to do it.
So you have shared with me that, and I know you've corresponded with Dr. Gerald McGuire, you've shared that he's a big inspiration for you. For the listeners who don't know, Jerry McGuire is considered the leading researcher in the medical treatment of stuttering, and Jerry's also a person who stutters. What do you appreciate or find inspiring about Jerry?
I think to see what I find inspiring about Jerry, you have to look at what I worry about, and that's that patients might not respect me because I stammer, or I might not be able to pass exams, that patients won't accept me at my word, that maybe they'll just turn me down as a doctor. But when you look at people like Dr. McGuire, you see that that's just not the case. And when Dr. McGuire came on your show, he shared a very heart-touching story about this patient who was almost inspired by his stammer. And that just shows that it's not a problem to patients if their doctor stammers. I think that's something which really reassures me about the future.
Yeah, and it sounds like you and Jerry carry your stammering in a way where you're open about it. And where, I mean, you can still have negative experiences when you're open about stuttering, but you know, you describe a way of managing stuttering where you're putting it on the table, you're shining a light on it instead of avoiding it. So I hope, and I already, well, you inspire me, so I hope that you're going to inspire many others by the open way that you face your stuttering.
I find that, Peter, if I don't put it on the table almost straight away, then I start to hide it slowly again. So it's something which I just try and get the hard bit out of the way at the start. And from there, it's all easy.
Yeah, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say aloud to you that I think there's a chance you may end up being a better doctor than most. And here is my thinking. You know, I've been to the doctor a number of times for myself and for my kids. You know, my wife, we've given birth to two wonderful children. Well, she's given birth, but I've been there, man. It's been painful for me too. Not as much for her, but you know, we've had some great doctor experiences and we've had a lot of terrible ones. You know, I remember when my wife was in childbirth and a doctor said to her something like, well, I'm going to give an exact quote here. The doctor said, "You don't handle pain very well, do you?" It's like, who talks like that? So, you know, I have found that some doctors and some medical professionals are not the best listeners and don't have the best bedside manner, but I have to imagine yours might be above average. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I would say that it's something which I've actively tried very hard to work on is my communication skills and how I speak to patients, possibly a lot more so than if I didn't stutter and found talking to patients easier.
So you're really interested in genetics. What's your interest in genetics? Is it stuttering related or is it different?
The thing about genetics is, Peter, that it's not that important what the disease is, because often the underlying genetics is the same, if that makes sense. All of the theories are the same about what the cause is and how you look for the causative genes like you do in stuttering. Personally, I've been interested in dermatology genetics a lot, but I could easily transfer that work over to stuttering if I wanted to in the future. And it is something I'd think about looking into, because stuttering, even from an objective point of view, is a fascinating disorder.
Do you have an opinion that you'd care to share, just a general thought on Dr. Dennis Drana's work, his finding a year or two ago about stuttering being related, for at least some people, to lysosomal storage? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I thought that was very powerful research. I think you can really take that research to the bank. It's something which we can rely on to be true as a causative factor. Whereas with some of the brain research which has been done, it's very chicken and egg type scenarios. But the genetics work, to me, is valid. And it's something which we can look to work on from the basis and then start to work up towards a treatment.
So maybe one day we'll have you back on air to talk about your research in stuttering and genetics, if you choose to go that way.
Yeah, perhaps one day. In fact, I even corresponded with Dr. Drana a little bit on his research.
That is fantastic. I don't know if you can, but you're welcome to share anything.
We discussed methodologies of searching for genes which cause stuttering. He's got a little bit of a different opinion to me on it, but I respect his opinion, and I think he does really good research.
Fantastic. So you share with me that you remain a little bitter that you don't get extra time for oral exams compared to the students who don't stutter. What's that experience? So have you looked for accommodations and not gotten them?
I've spoken to people high up in the medical school about stuttering and put forward my view that maybe I should get extra time. I've never been that forceful with it because I've passed all of my exams fine so far, and I don't see any reason to really rock the boat too hard. And they've always been very reticent to agree to that sort of thing. But the thing which catches me, when you look at dyslexia, which is a disorder of reading, they always get extra time during writing exams. And surely, if they get extra time during written exams, then somebody who stutters and can't speak as quickly or fluently should get more time during their oral exams.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right to me. And in this day and age, I'm a little surprised that they're not more open. You know, like, especially if you got a doctor's note, right? I mean, I am I wrong to think that if you pushed it a bit, you would get an accommodation?
I'd imagine that's a possibility, Peter. And I think if I ever dared to take them to a court of law, then perhaps they'd side with me. But I think one of the challenging things is how much more time do you give a person who stutters? Because I could walk in that room and be completely fluent and then have a minute and a half extra, which is an unfair advantage over all of the other people sitting that exam.
Well, sure, but if they gave you extra time, you might end up not needing it just because you were so much more comfortable in the knowledge you have extra time that you would possibly stutter less, possibly be more focused on what you're saying and not how you're saying it. That's my guess, or I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, I just think it's very difficult to judge stuttering because it's such a variable disorder day to day. I mean, how much extra time would you give a person who stutters?
Well, I agree with you. However, you know, is there really any great tragedy in giving a person who stutters 5 extra minutes? I mean, I don't know.
Certainly not for me.
Not for me either. So you recently gave a short speech to 300 to 400 people at a genetics meeting in Copenhagen. I imagine that was not the easiest speech you ever gave. How did you do and how did you feel? And tell us about it.
It was possibly one of the most frightening moments of my life, Peter. I was asked to do it earlier this year. It's just something which I felt I couldn't turn down, that sort of opportunity. But the idea of travelling to a country to speak is a very frightening one. And I still remember walking up on stage and grabbing on to the podium to make sure that I stayed there.
So you literally held on to it so you wouldn't leave. Wow. Okay.
And I just looked across at all of these faces and thought, how have I ended up here? I'm a person who stutters. What am I thinking? But in the end, it went great.
Wow. Congratulations. And you know, I haven't asked you yet, but how old are you, Patrick?
I'm 22.
Oh, wow. So young. And I don't mean that in a, you know, to be condescending or anything. I mean it as great admiration, because speaking to 300 or 400 people when I was 22 and really starting to face my stuttering, wow. How did you feel afterwards?
I felt empowered would be the word I'd use. In fact, Peter, I'd really like to share with you and everybody else listening to the Stutter Talk something which happened after I went up and gave that little speech. During the speech itself, at the start, I actually mentioned that I stuttered, and please just bear with me, my normal set spiel on
sure.
Stuttering.
Yeah.
And afterwards, these two young PhD students came over and told me that I absolutely rocked the speech, and they referred to me as a hero of the conference.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope they were cute, and I hope you can... That might not have been appropriate. I hope you had a great conversation with them, and that's fantastic, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. I think what I realized, though, the fact that I did stutter made me stand out a bit compared to everybody else and a little bit more memorable.
That is – I love hearing that. I just congratulate you, and that is so fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. You've said – to me that you listen to Stutter Talk. I think you've said you exercise to Stutter Talk, which is awesome. And you mentioned that you were interested in a conversation we had on air about either tiptoeing and walking slowly into the swimming pool or just jumping right in. How do you approach your stuttering? Do you tiptoe in or do you just take the plunge?
I'm going to have to say neither, Peter, and be a little bit awkward with this question.
Sure.
So after I went to speech therapy, this will be about 2 years ago now, my stutter became overt, and I would say what I wanted to, I wouldn't avoid words, but I still didn't talk about what it meant to me to stutter. And I found it very difficult to open up about it. So I felt like I was halfway in the pool. And I've stayed that way for the past 2 years, never really daring to fully get in, if that makes sense.
Sure. Doing things like Stutter Talk, it sounds like you're getting more and closer to the deep end.
Yeah, I'm trying my best.
This is Stutter Talk. Peter Wright is here with Patrick Campbell, a fourth-year medical student at the Hull York Medical School in England. Y'all just heard my voluntary stuttering. So you said to me before we started that you had a few questions you wanted to ask me on air, so go right ahead.
These don't have to be on air, Peter, but I'll go for it, sure.
Oh, I thought you wanted to do it on air.
No, it's fine, though. Okay. I was going to ask you about The man you call John, the drummer. I was wondering what happened to him.
He's a good buddy, and he's just somebody who's successful in life. I've tried to get him on Stutter Talk to talk about his stuttering, but you know, it's not that he's, I don't sense any shame about it. I think he's one of these people that lives with stuttering, and that's it. You know, it's not something that he feels a need to come and talk about. Which I think it's neat, because I always wonder, where are all the stutterers? Because because so much of what we know about stuttering are from people who come into the clinic. So he's somebody who doesn't come into the clinic. You know, well, actually, that's not true, because he has gone to speech therapy many years ago. But he doesn't feel the need to come and talk about stuttering. So he just happens to be a friend of mine who happens to stutter.
Yeah, and I think back to, was it Dr. The expert Queasel told a story about a similar child who just dealt with stuttering himself and never needed treatment, never had any negative thoughts about it.
Well, but John definitely got treatment, and he went a few times to intensives when he was younger. But as an adult, I don't sense that he's felt a need to be a part of self-help or to go back to treatment. So I think he's just living with his stuttering.
Great stuff. I'd love to hear him on Stutter Talk, if you could convince him.
I will try. I'll reach out again. And I'll mention that you've shared with me that you like to wear stuttering t-shirts, I think you said, of the British Stammering Association.
Yeah, I started that after you mentioned you did it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Okay. It was something which kind of unnerved me, and I found when something unnerves me about stuttering, then it's really something which I should do. So I started going out wearing my British Stammering Association t-shirt. It was very nerve-wracking at first. The idea was completely unsure to anybody walking around the streets. But since then, I've really taken to it, and I have to wash my British Stammering Association t-shirt about once every week now, thanks to you, Peter, so I can go out and wear it again.
That is fantastic. I love it. I had many stuttering-related t-shirts, and I was disappointed when there were some years where the National Stuttering Association, the t-shirts didn't have the word stuttering on them. They would say NSA. And like, I didn't want to buy a t-shirt that didn't say stuttering. And so this conversation, that your question about John, reminds me of the time I was in grad school at New York University. I was in the gym, I was lifting weights, and somebody came over and wanted a spot. He wanted to work in. So I'm wearing my stuttering t-shirt, and he works in, a nice guy, and he's stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're talking, and he was into heavy metal, and I had a roommate who was into heavy metal, so he was really impressed that I knew what he was talking about. And so I finally said to him, "So I noticed that you stutter." He said, yeah, I stutter. And I said, "Do you see the shirt I'm wearing?" And like, he hadn't even, I believe him, but I sort of wonder. He's like, "Oh no, I didn't notice that." I'm like, my shirt was like a successful stuttering management t-shirt. A successful stuttering management program t-shirt that had a big stuttering across it. And I'm wondering, how did he not see that? Or maybe he saw it and just didn't feel he had to say anything about it, but he still wanted to work in with me. So, you know, but so we ended up talking about stuttering when I would see him in the gym, but he was one of these guys that didn't need to be a part of self-help or, you know, it's, you do meet occasionally people who just stutter. And to say they just stutter, I mean, maybe he's having a hard time with it, and I don't know. It's just, he doesn't seem to need to be a part of a group right now about it.
I think we always try and project our own feelings onto people like that, so we just assume that they're covert and they're trying to hide it, when maybe they're not.
Well, see, I don't know. I think it could be anything. It could be he's totally fine with stuttering. He could be that he wasn't. I really don't know. I just know that he wasn't involved in any stuttering groups. But so you did you have another question that you wanted to ask?
No, sorry, Peter.
Oh, okay, I thought you had questions, plural. Well, Patrick Campbell, it's been such a pleasure to get you on Stutter Talk, and I hope to get you back on air, and I hope to be able to call you doctor very soon.
Yeah, that'll be in about a year and a half. Actually, perhaps hoping to go to one of the NSA conferences, or I believe the host in the International Stammering Congress in San Diego in 2016. So I might try and make it to that.
That is fantastic. Well, I it's hard for me to get anywhere because I have two young children at home, but when I do when I am able to get to these conferences again, we will have a beer or some French fries or something.
Yeah, exactly, Peter. I mean, I've heard repeatedly on this show that you always offer to buy the first round.
Oh, first round, yes.
So I was kind of hoping you'd do that for me as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I could use a first round right about now. But Patrick, it's been a real pleasure to have you on air, and let's get you back on air sometime.
Thank you, Peter. It's been great.